We have Cass Sunstein, who is now a czar in the Obama White House. He's the regulation czar. He has a whole track record of horrible decisions in this regard. But the first time that WikiLeaks ever got significant press play in the United States was in February of 2007. It had been founded in 2006, as far as we know. But in February of 2007, Cass Sunstein wrote an op-ed here in the Washington Post entitled Brave New Wiki World. And the Wiki World he's talking about is this new wonderful organization. And he says there's now a great new WikiLeaks organization which is going to target China. Interesting. Meaning that they're going to get embarrassing documents that will freak out the Beijing Politburo and make them lose face and bring on a color revolution in China. Now, obviously, you know, as time goes on, they can be redirected. And if you look at the original WikiLeaks board, it's largely this group of very, very fishy Chinese so-called pro-democracy activists. Right. A lot of them with links to the Soros groups of
that's true
of foundations. So Cass Sunstein is the guy who, you know, he's present at the creation. He's like the midwife of WikiLeaks. Now, Cass Sunstein also wrote another article the following year, and it gets back to our original 9/11 issue. Cass Sunstein says, we have these movements of opinion in the Western world, which are, of course, paranoid and oriented towards conspiracies. And we've got to fight these groups, right, the paranoid conspiracy groups. And he says, what we need to do is to undertake the cognitive infiltration of those movements. Now, I would submit to you, WikiLeaks is the realization of Cass Sunstein's policy of having the cognitive infiltration, really on a broader scale, of this the so-called youth bulge around the world.
Where does Assange fit into the plan?
Well, Assange. Now, what you seem to have here...
Seems to be a rebel, but I'm not sure.
Well, let's look at where he comes from. You can make a pretty good case that his pedigree is MK Ultra from the very beginning. That is, he's sort of a son of the CIA MK Ultra apparatus, or in this case, the CIA MI6 Australian apparatus. He comes from Melbourne, Australia, and the story is, you can find this, you know, on Wikipedia, that his mother was for a time married to a man, and both of them, but especially the stepfather, were part of a cult in the suburbs of Melbourne, Australia. And this is the cult of a certain Anne Hamilton Byrne. And the method of the cult was that young children were brought into the cult. They were immediately dyed blonde. They were, hydrogen peroxide. You look at Assange. Huh. Sometimes he's a blonde. Sometimes he's a brunette. What does this mean? This seems to go back to this experience with the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult. But the main thing they did was everybody got their name changed to Hamilton Byrne. This was done with the complicity of local officials because, of course, this was MK Ultra. It was sanctioned by the intelligence agencies. What happened to these poor kids is a story of really monstrous child abuse. They were given LSD. And they were given, I don't have the specific, you know, formulary, but they were given about 8 to 10 different kinds of really heavy-duty psychopharmaca.
And all of them?
Yeah, all of them. I mean, it was things like, you can read it on Wikipedia, again, if they haven't taken it down. Wikipedia says they were given LSD, and they were told to go into a dark room. And then after a while, Anne Hamilton Byrne would come to them. So you could imagine they were hallucinating and having nightmares and God knows what. This is what happened. So you look at Assange and you say, this guy, instead of getting cookies and milk, was getting an LSD cocktail from Anne Hamilton Byrne. That's the supposition. And you can look on the internet, you can find pictures that purport to be the blonde young Assange standing with, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 other poor little kids who have been dyed blonde, and this is the Anne Hamilton Byrne cult. So you look at Assange. Certainly he is someone who is deeply impaired emotionally, at least that's the impression I would have, that he's frozen. He talks in an emotionless monotone.
He's almost like an alien hybrid.
Yeah,
he's genetically altered or something. He's almost like a robot.
And then, of course, there was probably an aspect of what can we call them, flesh piles of some kind or other, among these children. So that might then cast light on the charges that were made in Sweden. I don't know one way or another. But this is a very, very strange person. Now, politically, what does he say? He says he hates 9/11 truth. He says 9/11 truth is annoying. Oh, it's annoying. Why is it annoying? He says, I come with real scandals and people... you know, real revelations, and people are always chasing after this 9/11 nonsense. What's the point of this? Now, he wants to be a great, you know, unmasker of the power structure, but the principal covert op of the age, he doesn't want to know about it.
Yeah, or even question.
Yeah, he just says this is you know, off the table. I mean, you can look at some of his competition, right? There's a thing called Cryptome by... John Young, I think his name is. Now, there's somebody who seems to be rather more authentic. I mean, according to some reports, John Young left the WikiLeaks board saying, you know, this is an intelligence front. The Cryptome seems to be more interested in things like 9/11 truth. But you'd think that out of all these documents, something would come out about 9/11. No. Let's just look at what's in the documents. Remember, when you start something like WikiLeaks, you got to provide some bait. You got to put out some chum at the beginning. So the first one is these very, very dramatic pictures of a U.S. atrocity in Iraq, right? These people being machine gunned from the air.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it's very graphic. It's shocking. It's highly effective. On the other hand, the incident was known. The deaths were known. This was all known. The U.S. atrocities in Iraq are known. Then there's a second wave, which is all about how bad Maliki is. Again, the pro-Iranian guy who has managed to get himself as prime minister of Iraq and managed to stay there, resisting the attempts of the U.S.-backed Alawi to take over. So in a sense, you'd say, well, an attack on Maliki is a favor to the CIA. And so in the second round, they seem to be radical. They seem to be attacking the U.S. war effort in Iraq, but in reality, they're attacking the guy the U.S. wants to get rid of.